And on today's Windy City Queercast, when did you know? When did you know you were gay? Well, Deb Pierce, our queer respondent from Toronto, is still with me. We're hanging out at my house before she has to fly back to Toronto. And we're talking about Deb's story. When did she know? As I sit down and tell my story with Randy Barbato, the new filmmaker who is joining us to talk about a new documentary coming on Cinemax this month. And Deb's story, it's a good one. And it includes hand jobs somewhere. I'm confused. And Richard Knight Jr. is with us. He's talking about the new John Cusack film about the war. I think it's a good one. Richard Knight Jr. with us a lot right now. It's summer movie time. And also, I think I was in a movie theater when I knew. And I think Olivia Newton-John was there. And I think she was on roller skates. And she had leg warmers. And her dress was flowy. And that was Xanadu, a place nobody dared to go. And I think it was when I knew.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 219. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
Yes, you are Deb Pierce.
Yay!
And you're here in Chicago.
I am. Physically, my ass is sitting in Chicago.
In my house.
Yep.
You're on the Alexander Billings couch.
I love it.
It's kind of like therapy, this couch.
It's nice. It is nice.
You can say anything.
It's comfortable in here.
Yes.
And your pooch is so good.
She's being so good. Nilla, look at her. You lay your head down. She's so sweet. She should be like our Windy City Queercast icon or mascot or what would you know the thing that's at the end of television shows where it's like 30
like
something like
at the end or
sit
ubu
sit that
good
whole
dog
thing. Yeah. Aww,
it's nice to be here.
Welcome to Chicago. Still,
it's been great.
We're loving having you here, and you're gonna have to come back and be here for a lot longer.
Invite me. I'll come.
We will. We announced that we're going to have this big new promotion in the winter. Gays Got Talent. So hopefully you'll be down for that.
A lot of people. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope somebody videotapes that so that people that hear about it, maybe we can watch it on YouTube or something.
That would be fun.
That'd be really good.
That would be really fun. You know, it's going to be a competition that opens up what we've been doing with Idol from the singing, but that we're also going to be able to have comedy with the Second City Gay Troupe, hopefully Gayco, as being some of our judges. We have amazing dancers in this city. You know, the Joffrey Ballet moved from New York to be here. We have amazing modern dance here with Joel Hall.
I love it.
And Hubbard Street Dance. I mean, many of Celine Dion's dancers when she did her big show out in Vegas. You know, she had a handful of Hubbard Street dancers. I mean, we've really got a thriving dance community here.
So
and some
is,
of them got to be gay, right?
You think?
I think.
Gay's Got Talent. So that's coming to the fall or early
It's coming
winter,
in the fall, probably like September winter-ish. Through January.
So people, obviously, they can go to your website to.
They will eventually. Right now, we're just teasing. We don't have all the information put together exactly, but yeah, you should start getting your act together, is what we're saying. So if you got a talent, you're a great impersonator. We're gonna have drag kings and queens. We're going to have comedy, dance, original music, like singer songwriter type music. No karaoke, I don't think. I don't know.
How could it be a gay event?
Do y'all have
Canada's
Got Talent? Like, yeah, Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, no,
Got Talent.
Paul Petro is he the guy that won?
I don't know. Yeah.
He's amazing. He gives me shivers and makes me cry when I hear him sing.
Yeah.
Oh God, cuts me right to the quick.
I think if you can sing opera, that's a little different than singing to a track. I don't know.
You think?
Ventriloquism.
What yeah, else? No, we don't said, have Canada's Got Talent.
I said no blowjobs, but I don't know what else.
Which arguably is a talent.
Yeah,
that I have not. Learned or mastered?
I mastered it and moved on, lady. Mastered it and moved on.
I can't even drink water fast.
Yeah.
I have such a gag reflex.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
No, they can do it.
That's why God made you a lesbian.
Thank God she did.
Absolutely safe from that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm good at that. But the point is, we don't have anything. We've got Drag Idol for the idol. We don't have Canada's Got Talent or Gay's
but on
talent.
your TV no, shows, because don't they have these in all these different countries?
Well, we watch yours, right? We've got America's Got Talent, and so you think you can dance and all that stuff.
So you
that's
kind
all
of
just
are
American.
Just American, Canadian American.
Yeah. But we have Canadian Idol.
Oh, you do have Canadian Idol.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good people win.
Yeah, great people win.
You have great singers in Canada.
Well, yeah. I mean, they all move down
They're
here
all from
because
there,
they get exposure.
Celine,
yes,
Shania,
absolutely.
Katie Lang.
Yeah.
Who else am I missing? Jill.
Anne Murray.
Jane Sibbery. God, there's tons of them.
Wait, I know. I can't think of it either.
Blank.
I'm Canadian.
What's the guy that...
Oh my God. You're refreshing your memory of Canadian singers.
Oh, I can't do it.
Michael Bublé.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. There's so many.
Jan Arden.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of Katie Lang's album where she honors all those amazing Canadian...
Hymns of the 49th Parallel.
Oh,
so good.
Genius.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
That makes me weak.
Who wrote that?
In the knees.
Who was that?
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen. There, that's who I couldn't think of.
Oh, yeah, Leonard Cohen. Canadian.
Yep.
But I digress.
Irish-Canadian, probably.
Good. So what is your part in Gay's Got Talent?
I'll be doing the same kind of thing that I do with... I'll be
You're
hosting
really
all the
good
events.
Host.
And thank you.
I don't see a lot of good hosts.
I don't
You're
see a lot
host.
Of good hosts. You're a good host.
I'm,
That's
I
what
like
I noticed
to host.
In Hell Week. You're awesome. You're awesome as a co-host with me.
Yeah, that was fun. I was really, like, no pressure on me for Gay Idol at all. I was
it's
just
fun.
Having fun throwing T-shirts
Throwing T-shirts
at
and
people.
Having fun. I want one of those things, though, that Carson Kressley had one. He was just on our show, but he had one at True Colors where he could shoot
yes.
the T-shirts. I want one of those. But I'm never at big, big, big venues. I'd probably take out a person.
Oh, my God. Lights would go out. Yeah, the whole bar would go out. In fact, it could be target practice
it would be
Wild
so
Turkey or the Jose Cuervo.
It would be totally scary. Me with a big gun. Amy's got a gun. That's what they'd have to play while
Get down! Screaming and everyone scrambling on the floor.
It would be funny. It would be really funny. I have such bad aim. I actually used to be a good shot.
Really? Do you know how to... You've shot a gun, like a real gun?
I used to shoot rifles when I was a kid. How Annie Oakley is that?
I know.
I was a junior archer and a junior rifle woman. But I wasn't a member of like the rifle club. This was when I went to camp. We just had the gay adult campers on one of our podcasts a few podcasts ago. But that was two of the activities I really loved and excelled at camp. And so, yeah.
What would you shoot?
I would love a bow and arrow. If I had known I was a lesbian back then, I was so like Artemis. I was so lesbo in a cool
you
way,
were
like
doing
a cool,
it all.
Sexy way.
Yeah.
That was when I was 16. I was like ripped
in
and
the
tan and strong.
Way.
And
But your camp counselors knew. Your counselors?
No!
Knew. They didn't?
I don't know. Most of my camp counselors were closeted, and I met them years later after I came out, and I freaked many of them out, and they never, ever talked to me ever again.
What?
Seriously, I think
Funny.
It was just too close. I didn't lose any other friends, but definitely some people from camp when I came out eventually as an adult. Couldn't take it. I think because they had feelings. Because I had feelings.
They didn't know what to do.
Whoa.
Feelings.
I had big ones. I didn't realize what they were.
I couldn't
just
identify.
Clueless.
I was a late bloomer, and I know we're going to talk about it in your future show. Or is it this one?
No, this is
it's
it.
This one?
This is where we're talking.
Oh, when do you know? Who knew?
We're going to come back. Let's talk about it. Because I started, it's a hard question.
This I know, is the question it makes me take a deep breath.
It's the question of when did you know? And that simple question has launched like an enormous movement. We're going to talk a little bit about a piece of that. But let us tell you what's going on in the theater scene. And probably we'll give you some news too. We'll just...
do I have time to go out for a deep dish pizza first? Because I'm in Chicago.
Go do that.
And then I'll come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
The critics call it a blockbuster, a phenomenon, a show that makes you laugh, cry, and think. Audiences call it the most thrillifying theatrical experience of a lifetime. Now, at Chicago's Ford Center Oriental Theater, you can discover for yourself that everything you've heard about Wicked is true. Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, the musical that changed Chicago for good.
Bosch's favorite team, the Wizard and Lev.
Are you ready to meet the Wizard? Call Ticketmaster.com today.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 16th, 2008, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater presents The Lion in Winter by James Goldman, directed by Rick Snyder. The Wall Street Journal calls it one of the finest shows in recent seasons, not just in Chicagoland, but in all of America. And the Chicago Tribune calls it a juicy revival. For tickets and more about The Lion in Winter, log on to writerstheater.org.
Get your toughest problem solved by a beloved Chicago expert. Judith Ivey comes to Northlight Theater fresh from Broadway to star as columnist Ann Landers in the Chicago critical hit, The Lady with All the Answers, playing now through June 29th. To purchase tickets to The Lady with All the Answers, visit northlight.org.
Bohemian Theater Ensemble presents the musical phenomenon Jekyll and Hyde in a complete reimagining of this gothic tale, accentuating the power of the original in a fresh, exciting new way. Jekyll and Hyde is Jeff nominated and playing now through July 20th at the Theater Building Chicago, 1225 West Belmont. Call 773-327-5252 for tickets. Mention the word facade and get $5 off the regular ticket price.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Nelson Algren for Keeps in a Single Day. The words of Nelson Algren with films and original music. Produced in association with the Museum of Contemporary Art and playing now on the MCA stage. For tickets and more, visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged in to what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. John Cusack's new film, War Incorporated, which he co-wrote, is a great political satire. A Dr. Strangelove for the YouTube generation that is bitter, funny, and stuffed with telling details about how modern-day warfare has merged with the interests of corporate America. Cusack plays a cynical hitman suddenly having doubts about his choice of profession. He's assigned by Dan Aykroyd as a former Vice President, Reed Dick Cheney, to assassinate a key political figure in a mythic Middle East country called Tarakistan, Reed Iraq, who's getting in the way of potential profits from the Tamerlane Corporation, Reed Halliburton, that's running the country. Cusack's cover finds him as the head of a trade show promoting American commerce. He's given expert support by his sister Joan, who is hilarious as usual, Marissa Tomei as an earnest political journalist and his love interest, Hilary Duff playing a trampy pop starlet, a spot-on parody of her own former status. Ben Kingsley is Cusack's boss, and Montel Williams, no really, as the voice in the GPS tracking device, the only person Cusack feels comfortable confiding in. War Incorporated scores so many satirical bullseyes that it nearly trips over its own cleverness. The last quarter of the film, in fact, while emotionally satisfying, is distinctly at odds with the rest of the acrid picture. The film plays into every cynical suspicion held by liberals, and it should be noted lots of non-liberals, about the war in Iraq, and it scores its bitter points while being deeply entertaining and funny as hell, a claim few of the recent slew of war movies can make. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hey, pig! This is Judy Tenuta, the love goddess, and you're listening to Queercast. It makes my hormones slam dance. It could happen.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. A Rhode Island Superior Court judge refused to hear a lesbian divorce case. Though the judge did question the constitutionality of a statute the Rhode Island Supreme Court used last year by not granting a divorce to a lesbian couple because it only recognizes marriage as between a man and a woman. The lesbian couple married in Massachusetts in 2004. The Superior Court justice said that the law should be challenged, and it is a matter that deserves the immediate attention of the state legislature.
A new poll shows New Yorkers support the governor's order for New York to recognize gay marriage performed outside of the state by 53% to 40%. However, a majority of those said the decision should have been made by the state legislature instead of the governor. 42% support legalizing gay marriage, 41% favor civil unions instead of marriage, and 21% say there should be no legal recognition of gay marriages.
Budapest's Pride March, which was to take place July 5th, has been canceled by the city's police chief for traffic reasons, creating too many traffic problems if held. Gay rights advocates, however, believe that the police official simply caved to pressure from conservatives and to avoid a repeat of last year's event, which resulted in violence when extremists attacked march participants.
Massachusetts Governor Devil Patrick confirmed that his youngest daughter came out of the closet. Catherine Patrick, 18, said she is a lesbian, but she didn't come out to her parents until after a proposal to ban gay marriage was killed by state lawmakers last summer. The family expressed how proud they are of her. The governor and his daughter will march in Boston's Pride Parade.
Gossip queen Perez Hilton will be the subject of a new off-Broadway musical. A handful of 20-somethings created a new off-Broadway production called Perez Hilton Saves the Universe, or at least the greater Los Angeles area, the musical. The production based on Hilton is about a blogger who needs to save LA from nuclear disaster. Hilton said he hopes they save a role for him. I hope he can sing.
Madonna's estranged gay brother, Christopher Ciccone, is planning a tell-all memoir about his relationship with the pop icon. The book, Life with My Sister Madonna, will be released mid-July by an imprint of publisher Simon & Schuster. Madonna has helped her brother often throughout the years, providing him money and opportunities. Madonna's rep said they are no longer close and that the pop star had nothing to do with the book.
Pop star George Michael recently announced he may retire after his summer tour. Michael ends his summer tour with two performances at Earl's Court August 24th and 25th. His rep said he will no longer play big arenas, and Michael told the BBC that he is retiring because he is aging. "I'm 45, and I think pop music should be about youth culture," he said. And that's The Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Welcome to Camp Camp,
America's premier summer camp for GLBT adults. Dozens of daily activities like swimming, softball, and tennis. And special evening programs every night.
The tea dance was a lot of fun.
I love the barn dance. That's my favorite part of camp.
The talent show. I absolutely love the talent show.
Remember when summer was the best time ever?
Well, it still is.
Camp Camp.
August 24th through the 31st. Visit campcamp.com.
So how was your pizza?
Exceptional.
Yeah. Where did you go?
Giordano's.
Giordano's.
Wow, that's tough to say. G's. Just calling it G's.
Okay. You went to G's.
Spinach mushroom.
You have to be careful because that's Gino's East too. Giordano's.
Giordano's.
Very good.
Why can't I wrap my tongue around that?
I don't know. It's more your jaw.
Giordano's. Oh, yeah. Okay, like that.
Like the Godfather.
Like the Godfather. Giordano's. Yeah, it was great deep dish pizza.
It was good.
Yeah.
It is good.
Oh, my diet is out the window.
Oh.
We had one of each.
Oh, there
you go. We actually had a thin crust and a deep dish.
Good.
And your crust is interesting. They're like saltine crackers. It's like a pastry.
Yeah.
It's flaky.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't. Different than New York. I can't eat again for a week.
You can't. All right, well, good. Then you can just...
I've officially arrived.
You've officially arrived.
With a deep dish.
That makes you a Chicagoan. I don't really like deep dish, but I can
appreciate it. I couldn't eat the outside of it. It's too much.
I appreciate it, but I can't do it. It just kind of like sits there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel great.
I'm not enough of a Midwesterner to truly like go there with some of the food things.
Well, and you're from Tennessee, so it's not like dipped again in batter, so you don't know what to do with it.
So there was this new book that came out by Robert Trattenberg that asked this simple question, when I knew, or I guess a statement, when I knew, and asked, all these gay and lesbian people to try to find that moment, which is a different moment than when I came out, which is, there are a lot of different moments, mm-hmm. but the true pure moment of when I knew. And, I talked to him a little about this, but even after having done this interview, I've always said to people, because that's a very common question for straight people to ask me, when did you know? Were you always? And for me, I always say to them, this was around the age when I knew. But then you almost can't help but then take a filter and filter through all the past of your life before that moment and go, was I just ignoring these signs? Right. But I honestly think that that's not really fair to do. I think when you know, you know. So Deb Pierce, when did you know?
See, that can't be a day, a moment, an age, a second in time for me.
Yeah.
Because there are so many variables for when I knew. I wasn't at the age that I felt maybe I was gravitating towards things that other girls weren't. I wasn't a sexual being. Like, it didn't feel sexual to me, or even attraction to me. It was just sort of some choices I was making in the activities I was doing and the people I was hanging out with and my interests. So when I knew I was different than some of the other girls would have been my whole life. But I would have to say when I was about, I call it grade six. You say sixth grade. So about 11 years old.
You can say grade six. Grade You're Canadian. Six. I don't want to take that away from you.
Grade six. We had a sleepover. And I used to get extremely excited at sleepovers.
About sleepovers?
Yes.
Did you know what a lesbian was in grade six?
No, I don't. No.
Okay.
No, no. Okay. No, but I did know that all the girls were talking about the boys, and even in some cases, like if we went to Cindy Weaver's house, there'd be like the older brother that
Cindy
all the
Weaver
girls
had no idea she'd be on a queer cast.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. And I used to always let her win in tennis.
Oh,
isn't that funny?
Cindy Weaver,
God,
ping with the heart strings.
Dream Weaver,
yeah.
So
is that your song with Cindy Weaver?
It is now.
It is now.
So we would go for the sleepover, and the girls would get very, I feel like I'm separate from it, but I'm not. We'd be doing things, eating, watching movies, scary movies. The girls would get really scared. And part of me, because I was scared, but I also really liked the idea of one of the girls wanting to, like, huddle into me and get closer to me for protection or safety or whatever. And there's something about that, and it was an unspoken thing that all of my friends knew that they could come to me as, like, this person that was going to make them feel okay during the scary movie.
Yeah. Sounds now, like a straight girl to me.
Right?
Straight girl with the magnet for the lesbian.
Yes.
They know at six. We should ask the straight women, when did you know?
But yeah, so some of that stuff was like, I really enjoyed that attention and that physicality.
Yeah.
Not that I was being physical with boys or girls intimately, of course. Yeah. And maybe not, of course, these days, but at 11, I certainly wasn't.
Yeah.
But there was just something just a little bit different. And I would never contribute to the conversation about the boys.
Yeah.
And then the next, we talk about it so much, I'm like, I better kiss one of these boys. Because, it's like, why aren't you kissing the boys? So Trevor Yule and I kissed.
Trevor didn't know he'd be on a queer
no,
cast
he
either.
Didn't. And he came down to
I
my
love
basement.
Trevor, that's so cute.
I know.
I see you with a Trevor.
I've looked
him. You could have a king named Trevor. That would fit you.
Trevor's a great name.
Be a great Trevor Trimble or something. I don't know.
I might have to lose my Dirk. And go with the Trevor.
I like the Trevor. It's cute.
It's a nice name.
Anyhow, tell me about the basement.
So he would come over to my basement and we would listen to George Carlin. Oh. The seven words you can't say.
You can say them now.
Which I have.
Go ahead.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
There you go.
And so he would come over and I would be so, like, we'd kiss and stuff like that. And then it would be listening to the tape. So then I was like, well, maybe it's not boys. Maybe I'm just gravitating towards stand-up or comedy or performance stuff that I'm not interested in him. And the poor guy would come over, obviously, to make out under the guise of she likes George Carlin. And then I just started becoming less and less about the boys and more about
George Carlin. That's when you knew. It was George Carlin.
Yeah.
You knew you were a lesbian because of George
Carlin.
That's
what it is. Tater tits. And then a little sketch.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So when did you actually identify it as lesbian? Do you know?
Not until grade 12. Not until grade 12. Yeah, I did know.
Before university?
Yep.
And was there a moment? Was there a person? Was it around a person?
There was absolutely a person.
And that's what...
And it just was... There were no questions.
Ah.
No questions. Just I saw her. She walked through the hallway. She didn't go to my school. I found her out. I saw her at a bar. We both were hanging out with guys. And they knew each other. And that was a great ploy for us to get to know each other better.
Definitely heard that story before. Not my story, but I definitely know that story from...
Right. So, one thing led to another. We'd go to the Burger King parking lot after the bar, and the guys would be talking, and then her and I would be like throwing a football in the parking lot around, which is always great foreplay. I mean,
they're gay guys now, too, right?
Of course they got together.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
Good for them.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't think they're...
They're not still together.
I don't think they're gay identified now at all. One's in jail, I think. But,
oh dear.
So maybe he's getting a lot more action, but who knows?
Now he's definitely...
We were together
gay for hire.
We moved to Toronto together. She remains my best friend. We speak at least once a day for 20 years.
Did you have a relationship earlier?
Three and a half years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of a beautiful story.
Yeah, wasn't that really nice? And she'd never been with a woman. She'd been with boys.
Is she gay now? Lots of boys.
Very gay.
Yeah.
Very gay.
How do you... That's like being a little pregnant, or...
Yeah, or a little bit of... Eating a little bit of garlic. Either you do or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you think you're a Kinsey 6?
Oh, yeah.
You're a Kinsey 6?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't have... You know, they're saying on this...
Well, maybe no. I don't know. I've had boy toys. Where I like to give hand jobs.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know.
It wasn't many years ago either.
Oh, dear heavens. Dad.
No, I saw him. He came in because he was me if I was a boy.
Ah.
So I looked at him and he had that Marky Mark, the small waist and the nice shoulders and the six pack.
Yeah.
And we just had this attraction. And I can't believe I just said that.
So you had to get him off.
What are you bringing out in me?
I don't know.
Do we have to go to a commercial or talk about theater or something?
We're actually going to go to this interview. So,
oh, thank God.
Yeah, and then we'll come back. But it's an interesting question. I am very happy to have Randy Barbato on, who is one of the filmmakers for the film When I Knew. It's going to be premiering here for Pride Month on Skinamax. It's a short documentary, and it's really an interesting question, this attempt to... ask a simple question, a pure, simple question, and see the varied response that we as gay and lesbians have to that, where our common themes are. So, Randy Barbato and When I Knew.
A new short documentary will be featured on Cinemax June 25th for Pride Month called When I Knew. Filmmakers Fenton Bailey and Randy Barbato, who have worked on films such as The Eyes of Tammy Faye, Party Monster, and Inside Deep Throat, are at the helm of this captivating queer investigation that asks, when did you know you were gay? And I'm so glad to have Randy Barbato on the show with me. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Hi there, how are you?
I'm fantastic, and I loved your film.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, such a simple idea that you think, how has no one ever done this before, and at the same time, absolutely compelling in its simplicity of just this simple one question. Now, the documentary is based on Richard Trachtenberg's book. Where was the idea for you and Fenton to make it into a film?
Cinemax approached us with Robert's book, and we had already been fans of it, and so we were very interested, but the big challenge was, how do you take this book and sort of turn it into a film, and how do you sort of take it to the next step? And that took a pretty long time, but in the end it really came down to the one question, when I knew.
Yeah. Now, how many people did you interview in the course of working on the film?
We interviewed over 150 people. I mean, it was pretty extraordinary. We decided to just reach out to real people, and we sort of, took a dart and sort of threw it on the map and picked a city and took out some ads and did like a cold call, like, who wants to share their story of when I knew? And we showed up to film that day, and, you know, there was a line around the block. And that was the kind of beginning of our journey, and that's when we realized that there was something more to this question of when I knew, and there were many people out there who wanted to share their stories.
And what cities did you go to? Did you go to only cities or more rural communities or both?
We mainly went to cities, but we tried to go to some less obvious cities. We went to Madison, Wisconsin, and Austin, Texas, and Philadelphia. So we went to cities that, you know, as well as New York and Los Angeles. But we tried to sort of go to cities that, you know, had a kind of rural reach as well. And lots of people traveled miles. I mean, it was pretty special.
So what were some of the common themes that once you get all of these interviews, I'm sure there was such an abundance and a wealth of direction that you could go in. When you and Fenton really started excavating, what were the common themes that you wanted to present in the film?
Well, I think that most gays and lesbians have sort of two when I knew stories. They have their sort of funny one, their sort of anecdotal, public, funny story. And then often many of them have a kind of deeper, sadder story. Or not sad is the wrong word, but just it's when I knew I was gay, the celebratory moment, and then when I knew it was gay and, uh-oh, it might be problem. It might be a problem moment. And I think for us, you know, that it was very important for us in making this film that we explored both of those. Obviously, we wanted that balance to make an entertaining film, but also we really wanted to make a point of exploring the second point, because I think with gays and lesbians, the rite of passage of coming out is so popular, and so it is the big moment for most gays and lesbians. But it's really interesting when you start thinking about that when I knew moment and the difference of time from when I knew to when I came out.
Yeah.
It suddenly opens up this whole other world of like, wow, so many gays and lesbians, what did they do between that moment of when they knew and when they finally came out? And that's what we became obsessed with. And that's when, for us, this film really felt like we were doing something kind of, I don't know, special.
Well, and that's so true what you just say there, because, I mean, even making it personal, I mean, people know I spill my guts on this podcast twice a week. So, I mean, it's interesting because in watching it, I was watching it with another friend of mine, a gay male, and we kind of turned to each other based on hearing all these other stories and said, well, when did you know? You know, and we started talking about it. It obviously starts a conversation. And I agree with you. There was the moment when a friend of mine, who was an older woman that I had really been in love with, I know now that I was in love with her, told me she was going to get married. And I remember her walking out of the room and saying out loud in like almost a cinematic way, you know, in my great gravitas and drama, I said, well, what are you going to do, Amy? You can't marry her. And I said it out loud. It was like, and I was devastated. But then it would be 4 more years or 5 and a whole number of weeks of sleeping with this woman and actually spending one whole weekend in bed with this woman when I finally like, on a Sunday, having not gotten out of bed since Friday, when I said, honey, I think I might be a lesbian. Now, she was a lesbian, and she almost fell out of the bed, like, because I finally had, like, my deep moment of knowing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even just the act of having sex. It was that deeper conscious level. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting that we go and we look at the whole story with a filter of things we did as children. There's some beautiful stories in this documentary of people knowing very early on, beautiful and funny. I was very moved by the little boy who wanted to pick flowers. I thought it was such a gentle story, but also these popular icons that seem to be triggers for us. Tell us about some of those that you chose to highlight. And I'm sure there were many, many more
Well, one of my favorite stories is a story by Bobby John, who talks about he knew watching Grizzly Adams on TV, and he was turned on by Grizzly Adams. And not only did he realize he was gay, but he realized he was turned on by bears.
Yeah.
But I love that story also because, you know, when we talked to him, he told that story, and then he went straight into this other story about when he knew it might not be okay to be gay. Like, he did it without, like, missing a beat. It was a very moving moment because he brought a sort of clarity to this idea that there are these, for many people, there are these two moments. But yeah, there are all those sort of like, whether it's trying to get turned on by Farrah Fawcett,
right,
or actually getting turned on by Grizzly Adams. I mean, there's all those sorts of moments that we have with icons or pop culture figures or songs that remind us of that moment.
Well, when you talk about that duality, I think of the woman, and this is partly my experience. I remember looking at my father's Playboys and hiding under his desk and looking at them, and they were very old at the time I was looking at them. They were old. But the duality of the woman, now I can recognize what you're saying, when she was looking at him and then the little girl came up by her and called her a leslie in the same moment. Mm-hmm. You know, that moment happened as a dual moment.
Yeah, that's such an intense story because, yeah, it's all right there. It's her recognizing, you know, going to the point of actually looking at dirty pictures and knowing that she has to hide them, but then getting busted. I mean, you know, she's such a great storyteller and tells that story with a kind of charm. But, you know, it was surely a devastating moment for her.
Absolutely.
And that's one of these. I just want to go back to something you said earlier. There's a great story a guy named Stephen Orr tells about, you know, his dad and brother playing football, and he decides he wants to pick flowers instead, and his father goes and picks flowers with him.
Ugh,
one of the
so
great
beautiful.
Things about that story is one of the things that I hope will happen with this film, which is that parents watch this film, you know, and that is something that, you know, from the makers of Inside Deep Throat and Party Monster
right.
or 101 Rent Boys, it's not the kind of film we're particularly known for, like parent-friendly and kid-friendly films. But I think Fenton and I found ourselves really personally moved by the idea of When I Knew and really found ourselves like wanting and hoping that this is a film that, you know, lots of kids and parents and schools will have access to.
Well, and I think it's about that core theme that you all say in the end, which is, what if we could shorten that time from when we knew and when we came out, or that those two things would happen in the same moment?
Yeah.
That just in knowing, we would be, and it would be okay. And I wonder, as you talk to people from different age ranges, did you see that we're moving more in that direction, or is there still much more work to be done? And it's a myth that now that we have gays on TV and it's more in people's faces that it's gotten any easier for many people.
I don't want to be doom and gloom, and I definitely think it has gotten better. And even the fact that so many young people came out and spoke to us, I mean, there were still even young people who had these sort of moments of alienation or moments of being picked on or whatever. But the fact that so many young people were even talking about it seemed to be a positive step. And I definitely feels like we're moving in the right direction. But as far as I'm concerned, until that day comes when I knew and when I came out are the same day, or you don't even need to come out. Like, that to me is as important as any other sort of thing we're fighting for in terms of gay and lesbian rights. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like it's so hard to assess what kind of what it really means for so many people to live so many years hiding like the essence of who they are.
Yeah.
It's weird to even think about it. So it would be exciting if that wasn't part of our collective makeup.
Well, and it's interesting because just last week on our show, we had the founder of the Straight Spouse Network, and it's exactly why SSN supported same-sex marriage in California so vehemently. It's because they want people to live their authentic self and understand that, you know, it has ramifications when we don't to the other people in our lives. And so it's just interesting. These are kind of coming at the same time. This story continually, I think now as we enter Pride months, we as a collective community demand of ourselves that we go to deeper and deeper levels of kind of what we're asking of the community and kind of society at large. And I think it's a really profound and beautiful thing. And I guess my biggest question is, why a short documentary? I have to say, I really felt like it's over. What? There could have been more, right?
I'll tell you why it was a short documentary. That was a conscious choice because the reality is this documentary is a trailer for whenineu.com. It became so clear to us on the very first day that there was just no way we were going to be able to include everyone's stories, but we wanted, it was like we tapped into something. And so together with Sheila Nevins and John Hoffman at Cinemax, we came up with this idea of like, let's keep doing it. Let's keep banking all these interviews. Let's have them live online and let's, you know, they actually have this video booth that's traveled around the country after we finished the film. And so, I mean, it's extraordinary that they've put themselves out there to let this question and this idea live beyond the film. But I got to tell you, we've got like, at this point, we have over 200 stories. And frankly, many of them are as good, if not, I mean, not better. I mean, they're all just so unique that it just seemed we had to figure out a way for it to live beyond 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, no matter what the length was.
Yeah. Well, and it does exactly
that. This interview is longer than the film.
I know. Well, not really. But you know, it's entirely great. I'm so glad you bring that up, that people can watch for more stories on When I Knew. They're streaming. If you check out the website, whenineu.com, and I'm absolutely compelled to go to this website once I discover today.
And also you can post your own stories.
Oh.
So it's completely interactive.
Well, we love that here in the podcasting world. Come on. Uh-huh. That's just the whole new way. And it's really showing that this is a that we're all connected by this question and this experience. And yet there is such a rainbow, diverse, expansive uniqueness to every one of our situations and stories that can really impact one another as we hear them and tell them. I think telling our stories is the most important thing we do. It's why I've loved doing queer radio and now queer podcasting for the past decade. And I'm so hopeful that people will go and check out When I Knew, premiering on Cinemax June 25th. What a great thing to do to celebrate Pride. And it'll have multiple airings there. And we will have the site, whenineu.com, linked on our show notes. And please give Fenton my best. And Randy Barbato, thanks so much for being on with me.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Not satisfied with standard souvenir distribution. You created a device with enough kick to dislocate a mascot's shoulder.
Someone get a stretcher.
Courtside, luxury box, upper deck. Your high-powered cotton cannon makes every section the nosebleed section.
Hit the deck.
So simple, anyone can operate it. After a background check, a training course, and a 5-day waiting period.
It only shoots T-shirts.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, marksman of the mezzanine, because we know you'll give us the shirt off your back. at 180 feet per second.
Mr. T-shirt lunch and
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Deb.
Hey, mate.
You're leaving.
I have to go. Oh my God, my
Your
flight.
Your plane is like in hours.
I have to leave Couple in 26 hours. Minutes.
Oh, to save the world. You and Madonna. If we get her 26, it would be way too much for me.
So
I love her, but it would be way too much for me. Her new video doesn't make me happy. I'm like, oh.
I haven't seen it yet.
All right, well, it was on at the bar sidetrack, but we were watching Lady Gaga.
That was a great video, Lady Gaga, on the Ting Tings. Cool. I've never seen videos for either.
Cynthia was very excited by the Ting Tings.
Yes.
But it's been great having you here.
It's been a treat.
I hope
Thank
that
you.
You'll come back down very
I
soon.
Have to now.
And maybe you'll start asking people on Proud FM, where people can listen to you daily streaming every day, 10 to 3 Eastern time. And for those of us in Chicago, it's a, what is that? 10 to 3. No, it
nine.
Is 9 to 2. Mm-hmm. I said that wrong last night or two nights ago.
That's okay. It is an hour behind.
Yeah. 9 to 2.
Ahead.
But you can listen to, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I'm tired. We've been doing a lot of talking.
I know.
And a lot of hosting. But anyhow, they should go to proudfm.com. You have a lot of great personalities on there. You're the best personality because I love you and like you. And
Thank
you're
you.
Enjoyable to listen to. And you're going to play a lot of Lady Gaga. So it's,
Yes, we
it's
do already.
All,
it's fantastic.
It's all linked up really well for me.
Yeah.
Everybody should definitely check you out there. And I hope that you'll come back and hang out with us.
It's been my pleasure. I can't have, I've come here and now you've created a small monster. And I
Yay!
Need to come back to the city because it's such a great
Whee!
City. And you've got such a big, big, big gay community.
Yeah.
And that bar, where did we go to? The
we
really
were at
big
circuit.
One?
We were at Sidetrack.
Sidetrack.
Yeah.
Huge. How many floors?
I don't know.
How many people do you think were in
there? It goes to the inner core of the earth, probably, and to the moon. I have no idea. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's huge and fantastic.
They do a great job there.
It's a great community.
Yeah. They really, you know, every bar's got its own flavor. And really, I have to say that from bar to bar, you're taken care of pretty well in this town. You know, you're taken care of. And I mean that in kind of a nice way. That's why the bars kind of really survive here. And that's not normal.
You've got it's obviously a thriving community and lots of age, lots of diversity. It's great.
We're a healthy, dysfunctional with an emphasis on fun.
And the Bud Light.
Yep.
I really rocked the Bud Light.
You did rock
night.
The Bud Light.
And I did it all night.
Night
long.
You did.
Buckets.
Wow,
buckets
that
full.
Should be there. You should be their spokesperson now.
I would.
Bud Light, I did it all night long. That's like, they would love you for that. That's great. I may just sample that out and send it to my Bud guy. Bud Light, I did it all night long.
I did.
Thanks for being our correspondent from Toronto. Come back, and unfortunately we won't get to do this face-to-face often, but you'll be on with us next month, and you'll have new stories, and maybe you'll have some When I News from the Canadians.
Are you going to tell your story?
I do tell my story.
Okay, good.
You're going to have to hear it.
All right.
You have to go back and listen to the whole show.
Oh, it's already in there.
Yeah, see, you were talking while Randy was doing his thing.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
It was that pizza.
It's the pizza.
It's repeating on me.
She's going to hop on a plane now. We're flying her back. She got to be back at Proud FM. Take a slice with you, though.
All right. Cool. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.